This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
We got my main man, Coach JT, 94 Feet Podcast. He's going to be, I'm just saying it right now. I'm just putting it out there right now. You're going to be seeing my man, Coach JT, during the King season. That's just is what it is. You're going to see my man, Coach JT, during the King season. Yeah, we got some things we cooking up, man. So you're going to be seeing and hearing a lot more from him this King season. So I've been pretty boisterous, been pretty confident, braggadocious, some would even say, about the Sacramento Kings this year. I think this is a 50-win team. I think this is a top-four team in the Western Conference. I think this is a team that is going to give the league fits on offense with all the dynamic offensive scores and capabilities that they have. Maybe I'm just too rose-colored when it comes to this stuff, but what do you think about this team? You think it's too much to say they're a 50-win team this year?
No, I don't think so. Like, I've been listening to you guys all this past summer, last month, really break down the – I mean, again, numbers don't lie, right? You're bringing somebody capable of doing, you know, hiring our points per game, very more efficient scoring. Again, but also we say, like, any people play the what-if game, Monk does not go down, we win a couple more of those games, we're in the playoffs at a certain seed, certain spot. So we retain Monk. Mm-hmm. We gained a few-time All-Star, a veteran, efficient scorer, but also somebody who's played well in any system he's been in. You know what I mean? So I think that's the thing, how long it's going to take him to get settled in. But once he gets settled in DeRozan, he's going to be efficient and people can still consistently build upon what they build upon. I think we'll be all right right there. And 50 wins, I don't think that's – I'm okay with setting a standard at 50 wins. That means we're doing something right, right? Like the last few years, we've been a long time, so we can say we're getting 50 wins. So to put that as a standard, yes. But also I think, you know, outside of a couple people, they're really still sleeping on us again. It's kind of, we went back under the shadows. They're not really, there's no buzz again. Like, yeah, DeMar popped in with the buzz this summer, all that stuff was going on, but it kind of died off. Mm-hmm. Which for me, I'm like, okay with, because that way we just knock them off, people off silent. We go by, get a win, stack them up, just stack those wins until they go, oh, wait a minute, you know, Sacramento Kings are in this spot. Oh, okay, perfect for us, right? Because we don't be on anybody's radar. Nah, we don't need the attention. Get the wins, keep the city popping. As we know, right? Those wins pile up, it's going to get crazy out here.
Yeah, man.
The rain is going to be wild, it's going to be high. And also just good basketball, I believe, which the team and Mike Brown wants to get back to, you know, after having a tough one last year.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, man. Real quick, you're listening to ESPN 1320 KFM West Sacramento and Odyssey Station. D'Lo and Casey, brought to you by Sky River Casino. My people over there with 17 different restaurants and bars, like 32 Bruce Street. Sky River Casino has something for everyone. Just KC here today, my main man D'Lo, a little under the weather. He'll be back soon. And because of that, you know, I like to do KC and Friends. I got my main man, Coach JT from the 94 Feet podcast, joining me right now, talking a little Kings basketball. As the Kings are back tonight at the Golden 1 Center, taking on the Golden State Warriors. You can watch that game on ESPN. And one last thing about the Kings. DeMar DeRozan is here. He's going to do his thing. Is he going to average 24 points per game? No, I don't think so. But I think he's going to be about 18, 19, probably 20 points a game. He might be the second leading scorer on this team. Whose numbers do you think goes down because of DeMar being in there?
Honestly, the way he plays, he does a little everything too. Everybody might go down a little bit maybe because he can assist. Mm-hmm. He can drive and kick. He can put the ball on the floor. I haven't really seen him been that – he hasn't drive. When he drives, he's going to finish. It's either a butt. When he gets in the paint, though, it's going up. So he's not going to kick out that far. But I would say probably – Keegan maybe.
Keegan was at, I think he was at 15 last year.
Kyrie broke it down. Maybe Keegan. But then also, it was interesting because Keon was getting a lot of those minutes at the in the season last year. You're bringing an OG like, you know what I'm saying, DeRozan. Of course, he's probably going to say, don't defer to me or don't get me. But I'm sure Keon like, nah, man, I know my job still. But however, so I think maybe those two guys for sure. Sabonis is going to get his how he gets his. That's just how he plays. But, I would say probably those two because of how they scored. And just, again, the spacing on the floor of where they want to operate at and where he likes to operate at, he may occupy a couple of those spacing opportunities early on until they get comfortable. Those two might offset to me kind of may be the first two to kind of suffer a little bit.
So I'm trying to pull it up right now. And this is a complete inexact science when you talk about, you know, oh, I'm going to take these points away from this guy or do whatever. Like, it's a very inexact science. But Fox was at 26.6 points per game last year. You think he's higher, the same, or lower?
His may be a little bit lower too. Only I could say in the half court set, right? Because open court is going to get his, the pick and roll game for sure. But when it really slows down all the way, like I said, the way DeRozan scores though in the half court, man, you got to let him get the ball though. I mean, that's them is buckets like that. And that's the way Fox really can rest a little bit. To help close games is them second, third quarters. Okay, DeRozan, you can work, bro. You can work. Or vice versa. You know how they trade off. So it depends on how that works, man. But I think he goes a little lower, too. I would say 24 for me. Okay. A couple of points would be okay. 24 for him.
DeMontis, 19.4 points per game. I'm with you on that one. I think he stays about the same, like 18, 19 points per game. I don't think
I believe that. Yeah, same right around there because the way he gets his, the way he gets it done, the way they look for him, too.
Keegan at 15, you think he's higher, lower, or the same?
Man. Honestly, it made me think of how aggressive he is. If he's shooting aggressively, it could go up, but I would say probably about the same, though, honestly, right? Because, I mean, he's not going to do too much unless, I know you like to see a kick and get him up. But, again, because you bring the OG in, the efficient scorer, he's like, well, okay, I can just relax, a little less pressure.
Right.
So it might not be a shooting, but I would say somewhere the same, man. It doesn't sound like they're missing off the lot.
With DeMar DeRozan there, I don't necessarily need Keegan to get him up the way he did last year. Like when Monk went down and when they need, I needed you to get your buckets. Like I needed you to be aggressive on the offensive end. And that meant 18 shot attempts a night or something like that. Like I needed, or especially when Monk was down. When Monk was there, it didn't have to be that much. But now with DeRozan there, man, you can live in the 11 shot attempts a night type land. Like you don't have to shoot the ball that much. I see you going 6 of 11 every night. You know what I'm saying? Like you hit your three, you're getting 7 3 attempts a night or something like that. Like I could see that happening. I see him probably being around the same, being around 15. Where I think DeRozan's points are going to come from is you got obviously the 12 from Harrison Barnes that he'll replace. So if I think DeMar DeRozan's going to average 19 points a night, you got 12 right there. You got to find 7 other points. I think Kevin Herter, who averaged 10 last year, I think he might be closer to 7. That's 3, so now we're at 15. I think Malik Monk, who averaged 15 last year, I think he'll be maybe down to 13 or something like that. And that's another 2 points to that. So I think that's – and then you mentioned Fox's numbers, like Fox maybe 24. That's another 2 points. I think maybe that's where
just how they get it too, right, bro? Like, because, I mean, I think we got to get back to the free throw line but and get more, you know what I mean? I think he'll bring that to the table, but also we got to get calls for our point guard to get to the free throw line too. Because if guys can still play aggressive downhill for us, the way the style they're gonna play and they should play, mm-hmm. we gotta make people pay at the free throw line, bro. Let's get them attempts above 15 a game as a group and make those free throws, man. I think that'll help us a lot, and you'll be able to win games easier because you're putting pressure on guys and you're getting more free throw attempts up, man. It's free money.
Yeah. Oh, another thing I'm looking at right here, there's 10 points per game, 10.7 points per game, just kind of hanging out around there with Sasha and Davion. So that's another 10 points that are
there. So that means somebody, yeah, they can pick those up again. Yeah. You got
Jordan McLaughlin. Like, Jordan might average 5 a night, maybe. Mm-hmm. Like, I think Jordan might average more about 3 or 4 points a night, mm-hmm. Jordan McLaughlin. So yeah, maybe there's about 7 or 8 points right there that DeMar can use to get to his 19-20 points a night. And without these other guys losing their points per game or something.
Right. So, and if that happens that way, we cooking.
Yes.
Like, we cooking. If basically he just come in and take that and do what he does and add it to the mix, you still get Malik off the bench. Yeah, I mean, it's high flying, it's dunks, it's threes, mm-hmm. it's a little showboating going on in the arena. Gonna be cracking.
It's gonna be so turned up in the Golden 1 Center. I cannot wait for this season. It's gonna be such good times and good vibes. We're talking Kings. All right, we talked the Kings.
Yeah,
I couldn't leave. Couldn't have you leave without trying to figure out what's going on with our Niners, man. Like I said, I watched a couple games with you. I know you know the game.
Yeah.
I know you locked into the game. Family got season tickets and all this other stuff. Two and three, man. How you feeling about these Niners? I don't think I'm as dejected as everybody else. I still see a pathway for them to get to some of the places we expect them to get. But it's mm-hmm. a big game on Thursday night against the Seahawks, man. They're facing 2-4. They're staring at it right in the face right now.
Huge, bro. And I'm going in the present moment, right? I know you guys talk the money. Jesse probably knows. I know Will, although, man, everybody probably knows more money about that. But I'm looking at these guys available. I seen the guy last night from the – who he got released from? Linebacker available.
Oh, from the Eagles, I think.
Yeah, Eagles and Riddick still out there. I know Riddick probably costs a little more.
Yeah.
But they just released the linebacker. I'm like, hey, like you said, St. Louis Rams, well, hell, our player can't replace him. Where's our weakness right now? Mm-hmm. Linebacker, and we need an end. Mm-hmm. Either one, even a linebacker, right? So I'm like, we got to make adjustments. But and it's also, I don't know, again, like you can tell, man, the continuity from the gate was just off from the start.
Yeah.
Once, you know, not having Ayuk from the start, that continuity is down. Brock's familiar target, his first target wasn't there. You can just tell. And then guys look kind of, you know, just not confident early on, man. Yeah. The swagger is there, but then come the gameplay, you can see it go away. You know what I'm saying? Certain plays happen, certain adversities, and just not that confident right there. So, I mean, how do you get that confident back? You may got to get your machine back.
Yeah.
That's if he ever comes back, that may boost the confidence on offense and everything to go out that way. But also just as a group, man, you know, it's just inconsistency right now. Like you said, turnovers. Mm-hmm. And the type of turns we're having and the timing of it will hurt you regardless of whatever sports you play, right? So, like you said, Thursday is huge, bro. I mean, there's nothing else more to talk about than Thursday. I think I seen Kyle put a quote in talking about we are in hell right now. We're hell. Well, yeah, it's here. You want to get out, you have to get that win Thursday and just put a little bit of water on it. But it's going to take a great effort across the board from everybody, both sides of the ball, special teams, tackling, mm-hmm. finishing tackles, and really punching the ball in the red zone, right? We get there, we need to score those points because it's just isolated to me, Tyler. Now we get there and we're still selling for 3. I mean, that's been kicking us in the butt for a few years now, right? Get there selling for 3 instead of for 7, man. So, yeah, man, it's had my blood pressure up and down a little bit all season, but I'm doing pretty good trying to maintain. But I know you, but you was right there at mom too, so I know that had to be a tough one, boy. You was in the building. Man, so I know that was tough.
Man. That was tough, man. We were frying out there too. But that game is so frustrating because a lot of people have gone back and looked at, you know, they've broken down the film. They've broken down Brock's mm-hmm. throws and who's open. And like I said on Monday, you know, this was a situation where, you know, everybody played a hand in it. Everybody's at fault. Kyle's got to do a little bit better with the play calling. Brock's got to, you know, have some better recognition and maybe not hold on to the ball as much. The defense has to be better. The wide receivers got to get a little bit more separation. But when I see, like, these breakdowns of these games, it's when a game is that close, it's so frustrating. You know, one or two plays or whatever. I don't know if you remember it, but there was a play, I think, on the final drive for the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. And Murray, you know, dropped back, quick little drop back, was going to hit somebody on a slant. Fred Warner read the play. I saw it in real time, and then I went back and saw the highlight. He read it. He jumped in front of the pass. It was a pick six. He was gone. And Campbell put his hand up and knocked the ball down. Mm. Made a good play on the defensive line, but it's little stuff like that. Like, all right, he just got his hand up and batted it down. If he doesn't do that, Warner's picking it off, and he's still running into the end zone at that point. And it's little stuff like that that, you know, the breaks just aren't going their way right now, and they got to be able to fight through that. And like you mentioned, not turn the ball over as well.
Yeah, I just hoping that they can. I mean, the thing is really with any sport, any coach, any players, how can you weather the storm? And winning does cure that, but it's tough when you lose the way they've lost these couple games too. Mm-hmm. Like, ooh, like how much more left do they have to give before I won't hate to say it, but you're like not checking out, but they kind of like, man, this is not just going to work for us this year, man. So unless you have to, but you have to also, if possible, like I said, go make a small splash or something like that. If that guy, money-wise, available for the linebacker to help Fred Warner, oh, hey, y'all, let's go get him. Yeah. That may, you know, I mean, it could be something like that because you put him along Fred, okay, turn me up again a little bit. Mm-hmm. Defense, can we get off the field? Also, like last play, they're on 3rd and 6, maybe 3rd and last week on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Get off the field. We're up. Get off the field and then go drive the ball down and one more time and get another score could do it. And that's what you know what I'm saying? Those things are happening. It's tough to watch, but it's like, man, it's hard to realize. Okay, what's your I'm gonna ask you this though. What's your vibe, man, right now, the way our record is and the way the other teams are playing around? Is it still up for grabs? Or what do we have to do to get that playoff spot?
Well, I mean, it's definitely still up for grabs. I mean, you look at the situation and you know, you win on Thursday, you're tied for first place in the division because nobody's running away from you. You lose, and you don't want to do that. You're 2-4, but you still, with about 70% of the season left to play, you still are right there in striking distance. It's not like you're in the NFC North where if you lost that game, like you're 4 games back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This team is cooked. Like, it's not that. So I think the mentality shift has gone from maybe, hey, let's get one seed, all this other stuff, to let's focus on getting a division because it is right here. Mm-hmm. Then you have an opportunity, regardless of whether you win or not on Thursday. And it's right there for you, man. You got an opportunity. Just got to do some of the little things, like you said.
Yes, sir.
And come together and play some good team football, man. Jay, it's always good talking to you. You know, there might be some people, first time hearing from you. Where can they find you? You know, Instagram, man. Socials, all that other stuff, man. What you got coming down?
Follow me on Instagram, 94 Feet with Coach JT, man, or visit the website, 94feetwithcoachjt.com. It's got, you know, all the websites up there, got some merch up there, got all the interviews, man. And yeah, be on the lookout for some new interviews dropping real soon, man. Shout out to all those this month, too, Breast Cancer Awareness Month, a couple other things going on, man. Shout out to you guys that are still fighting and keeping that fight going. My mom, too, man, she's a survivor, so I'm saying, gotta show love where love is due, man. Hey, bro, I appreciate you always, my guy, man. Jesse, you too, man. Appreciate y'all, boys. I'm gonna see y'all soon.
Yes, sir. No doubt, man. My main man, Coach JT, 94 Feet Podcast. We're gonna take a break. When we come back, got my girl Tristy Rodriguez from NBC Bay Area, NBC Sports Bay Area. She's gonna talk with us a little bit, man. It's D-Lo and KC on Sacramento's number one sports station, ESPN 1320. Yes, indeed, D-Lo and KC here on ESPN 1320 on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. It really is beautiful. I told you guys yesterday that the last 90 degree day of 2024 took place yesterday. We're not seeing the 90s no more. It's already cooling off. It's going to get into the 70s. Fall is here. I can proclaim that now. Fall is here. Then fall is definitely here when the Kings come back, too. So that's another thing. Oh, that's the other thing, Jesse. I don't know if you were, I think you heard about the whole thing about the temperature, right? When we were talking about that, like when they take the temperature.
Shade and blah, blah. Yeah.
Now, you know it's official when I get this cosign and this confirmation. Charlie came in and said, Kenny, you are right. They take the temperature in the shade. So all you little people in the chatty house and the Matthews Mattress chatty house wanting to run your mouth, talking about what the hell is KC talking about? You're wrong. I'm right.
Yeah, if Charlie co-signs it, it's probably right.
Yeah. So the shade, they take the temperature in the shade. I don't know. I don't remember where I heard that from. But when I heard it, I said,
that's like, I get that's what they do. But that's low key kind of lying to us.
Well, no, that's actually a more accurate assessment of what the temperature is.
Temperature.
Because if
I don't know, bro, because if I walk a couple feet to the left outside in this grass where there's no shade, like that's how hot it actually is.
Well, no, that's how hot it is when the sun is beating down on you.
Because yeah, that's the sun. The sun makes it hot.
The true temperature of you, there's no extra factors. Like there's no sun, nothing. Just what it is, like what the air is or whatever it is. You got to get it in the shade.
I guess.
If it's hot in the shade. If it's 89 degrees in the shade, it's like, yo, it don't matter if you're in the sun or not. It is 89 degrees.
Feels like we're cutting corners at that point.
it makes sense.
Weather's a dirty game.
Weather's a dirty game. Meteorologists, I always think about like the meteorologists, how they got to like point. They do it so effortlessly too. Like the background is there and they know where to point and all this other stuff. It seems so confusing. They're looking at a camera over here and pointing here. Do a great job. Shout out to my girl, Christina Warner. That's the homie over there. But like I said, the Kings are back tonight. We've been talking about what are you looking forward to? What are you wanting to see from the Kings? DeMar DeRozan, obviously. We want to see Keon. We want to see some of these guys. Some people want to see one of the young GOATs, Tristy Rodriguez, and she joins us now on D-Lo and KC. Tristy Rodriguez, NBC Sports Bay Area. What's going on with you? I think this is the first time you've been on D-Lo and KC, huh?
My debut. Forever.
And D-Lo not even here, man. Damn. See, the problem is we can't keep up. You know, sometimes she in Sacramento. Sometimes she in Paris. Sometimes she – I mean, you just never know. You never know where she at.
Literally in Oakland right now, so.
So – the Kings season is back. They're back on the floor. I've been asking people all day long, what is the thing you're most looking forward to tonight with this team and just the Kings in general?
I mean, I feel like the obvious answer is just watching DeMar and how he fits with this team. Mm-hmm. And I think people are interested in like how the offense will flow with DeMar, but I'm kind of interested to just see how this team plays defensively with him, which I know is kind of like an area of concern because they didn't really address their defensive needs over the offseason, but it doesn't take away from what DeMar brings to the court. I think I'm just interested to see how that plays out on the defensive end of the floor. And then you throw in Keon there. We know how that defense shifted once he was inserted into the starting lineup last year. Yeah. So with a couple more reps with the starting lineup, I want to see how Keon kind of helps the defense as well. And just some of the new guys, I guess. I'm interested to see. I'm big on Jalen McDaniel. I know he's kind of a sleeper. I've had conversations with people and they're like, really, Jalen? I think he needed a fresh start. And I think Sacramento, as we've seen with Malik Monk, is a place to find that. So I'm excited to see him and some of the other new guys as well.
Yeah, that's one of the guys that I'm interested in as well that I haven't really talked about myself. But just the... I guess the idea of a guy that's 6'8", 6'9", versatile, can move, has a little bit of offensive game. Like, in theory, that's like, yeah, I want to see what this guy's talking about, especially for a Kings team that always talking about they need a 3-and-D guy or whatever. It seems like he fits the mold. He hasn't been, like, super, I don't want to say impressive. That's not the word I'm looking for. But he hasn't really found his footing with other franchises in the league, but like you just mentioned, coming here to Sacramento, it could be a perfect situation, a perfect spot for him, and he could thrive here.
Yeah, and I think like Sacramento's been looking for that 3-and-D guy, right, for a long time now. And maybe I'm a little biased because he's a fellow San Diego State alum.
Okay, Aztec, Pac-12. We'll see you soon in the Pac-12. I'm just saying it right now. We'll see you soon in the Pac-12.
It's crazy. It's getting spooky. but no, I followed him. We went to school at the same time. So I followed him in college, and he was literally the best player on the team. So I guess it's not surprising that, you know, college success doesn't always translate immediately to NBA. Like, again, Malik, perfect example. Mm-hmm. But I think I asked him at Media Day, actually, like, how excited is he to play for a coach like Mike Brown, being a defense type guy? And he just, like, he's a pretty, like, cool, calm, collective guy. The way his face lit up when I asked him that, he was just, you could see it on his face how excited he is. And I think that says a lot about a player being excited to play for a coach like Mike Brown.
Right, right. Nah, it's, Mike Brown is a guy that I'm a believer in his ability to identify guys, especially when he sees a guy like McDaniels or like Andrew Wiggins, where, hey, I think you could be this on the defensive end if you just learn these things, or we put you in this situation. And it kind of feels like he's got plans for Jalen McDaniels. Like, he's like, I'm gonna put you in situations where I could see if you can thrive, and, you know, kind of be a piece that we're looking for with the Kings. It's a good call by you. I forgot about him. I was kind of interested in him when that trade went down. With the rest of the Kings team, we got Tristy Rodriguez, NBC Sports Bay Area. Covers the Kings, covers a little bit of everybody, but we see her at the Kings games a lot. But one of the things that I think about with this team, this Kings team this year with DeMar DeRozan there, is I just think they're going to, we talk about defense, but I think they're going to be so dynamic on the offensive end. So dynamic. I think they're going to be a team that is going to be hard to guard night in and night out in the regular season. Do you see the same thing for this team, or do you see maybe some growing pains where they may have to figure out how to incorporate Keegan or even incorporate DeMar and all this other stuff and people finding their way? Do you think it'll be kind of seamless with this team offensively, or, you know, is it going to be some speed bumps?
I agree with you. I think we saw their offense two seasons ago, how dynamic that was. Mm-hmm. You add a player of DeMar DeRozan's caliber, and that can only improve it. I'm also big on Kevin Huerter. I think that he's due for a bounce back season. I know he dealt with the injuries last year. He was in a shooting slump, seemed like, all season, but I feel like he's only due to, you know, have a bounce back season. It seems like Mike Brown is really keen on him and keeping him in the rotation once he's back healthy. But yeah, to answer your question, I think I've seen a lot of concern about how his offense might, or his role might, you know, adjust or lessen with DeMar in the lineup now. But I don't see that at all. I think if anything, it can be a good thing for Keegan. You see, I was writing a story the other day about, I think it was Steph Curry and Brandon Pajemski, because we also cover the Warriors in the Bay. Yeah, seriously. And You think of a player, Brandon Pajemski, coming for Steph's role, right? No, you don't come for Steph's role. He learns from Steph, and Steph can only make him better. So I only see that happening with Keegan and DeMar. I know it's not the same perfect example, but I see that happening. And I think it goes back to what is their identity, right? Because two seasons ago, it was their offense. Mm-hmm. It was DHOs, it was fast, it was, you know, the pace, all that. Last season, it seemed like Mike Brown was kind of turning the emphasis on defense and physicality. And then this season, it seems kind of like they need to find what their identity is. I think they can get back to that offense like it was two seasons ago, while also continuing to make defensive strides. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the themes that Mike Brown talked about throughout this past week of training camp is also crashing the glass on the offensive side of the floor. So I think their emphasis or their identity, once they establish it, still needs to be offense, just because you have DeMar DeRozan, DeMontis Sabonis, and De'Aaron Fox on the floor with you. Mm-hmm. It has to be offense, right? Mm-hmm. But we saw the leap that De'Aaron even made last year. We saw on the defensive end of the floor, we saw the defensive strides that Keegan made. You throw Keon Ellis in there, Trey Lyles, his physicality, Jalen McDaniels, like we just mentioned. We'll see how he plays out on the defensive things, but I think they can get back to that offensive success while still making progress defensively.
I'm with you 100%. I thought that was a misstep by their coaching staff last year, that they put a little too much emphasis on defense first. And I understand why you're trying to make a jump, be a championship contender, be a team that is taken seriously in the postseason. You're going to have to defend. I get all that. But I thought they went too far left. I thought they went too far kind of ignoring what I like to call their superpower, which is offensive explosion. And I'm hearing the same things from you, from other reporters who are there every day, that Mike Brown and the coaching staff is kind of leaning back into, hey, let's get back to what made us great a couple years ago. And you can do that and still work on being a better defensive team. Like, it didn't have to be either or. Like, you can still put more emphasis back on being top flight on the offensive end and say, hey, here's where we can improve on the defensive end. So I'm with you. I think that's going to be a big part of getting back to kind of that beam team one type mentality, where they're putting up 120, 125, 130 on any given night.
I agree with him. What's the saying? If it's not broken, don't fix it. It worked two seasons ago. You can still emphasize defense and the importance of physicality, but offense, like you said, is your superpower. So don't mess with it.
That's it. Tristy, I know you're busy. You're going to be at the game tonight, right?
I am. So
I'm not going to be at the game tonight. I'm daddy duties. Daddy duties call. So, yeah, I won't be at the game tonight. But I know you're busy. You got to get out to the Golden One. I said I wasn't going to do it, but I can't not do it.
I know what's coming, and I'm leaving.
I cannot ask you about what's going on down in L.A. What's going on? I saw you on Media Day.
What's going on across the bridge for your team?
That's deflecting. As D'Lo would say, that's deflecting right now. Now, look, I was dead serious. I saw you on Media Day, and I was dead serious. I said, I think the Dodgers are winning a World Series. I believe that. I thought,
and
that.
I knew this was, it was a reverse.
No, reverse jinx. I don't need a jinx to say I hate the Dodgers. I'll just say I hate the Dodgers. I'll just say I hate them. I hope they burn in hell. I'll say that. But at the time, I was like, no, they're going to win. Now that I'm here, I'm like, I don't know if they got the pitching. I don't know if they got the pitching to beat the Padres. Yeah, you did say it. You did say that. I don't know if they got the pitching to do it. Their season's on the line. They're going with a bullpen day.
I mean, the bullpen has kind of been keeping us in the game. Our defense has been trash. Our bats go silent when it's the most important time. Mookie finally, at the end of our lineup is trash. Like, just don't even get me started. You know what's crazy is you can't hurt me. Nobody can hurt me because they hurt me. And I'm a Dodgers fan. Like, I've just been hurt my whole life. So it's fine.
Aren't you a Niners fan too?
No, but I'm an honorary fake Niners fan.
Oh,
yes, I own that title. Everybody at the office calls me an honorary fake Niners fan because I have like 30 teams. But
the whole league, the whole damn league is just your team, huh?
Yes, basically. But you know what I always say? If you're a Giants fan that is also a Niners fan, please do not text me, be in my mentions, about the Dodgers, because the Niners are the Dodgers of the NFL and vice versa.
Well, I'm texting you tonight after Tatis hits another bomb in the left field. And I'm like, what's up, Tristia? Watch. I know you're at the Kings game. I'm going to just keep you updated.
So I'm going to text you in February when the Niners
that's uncalled
are.
For. That's uncalled for. There's no need. No need. No.
And they lose in the very last minute, drive to the Chiefs.
I still, now, as I watch the series, I think the Padres are the better team. But I still feel.
They just want it more, it seems like.
I still feel like we got a game five coming. I do. I don't know how the Dodgers are going to get there because I don't like Dave Roberts talking about, oh, it's a bullpen game. That sounds crazy. I know the bullpen's been cooking, but with your season on the line, like, you should have a starter that you could go to be like, hey, save us.
We don't have anyone. We don't. Everyone's hurt.
Yeah. I'm going to stick with what I said. I think it goes five, and we'll see what happens.
For my mental sanity, I hope it doesn't. And I just hope they lose tonight and it's no, over.
That's where we're at.
Can't do it. I'm going to be watching the game tonight somehow while also trying to watch this Kings game. And I'm unwell. Do you want to know something? This is an accident. Let me just preface by saying this. It was an accident. Uh-huh. Last night while watching the game, when Tatis hit that homer, I was cooking and I was like chopping vegetables, cutting up vegetables. And yeah. I gashed my entire eye while watching the game because I was like, it was an accident. Like I'm saying, it was an accident.
Yeah, no, we need to get
that. You can imagine just how that went down, knife, like, and yeah.
See, it's even more reason we got to get the Dodgers out of the paint, man. They out here, the Dodgers are hurting you now. The Dodgers are hurting you. Dodgers got to go. They got to go.
That's why I said nobody can hurt me because the Dodgers mentally and physically are hurting me. So,
well, watch.
Say whatever you want. It doesn't faze me.
Watch the game, not cooking or anything. You'll be at Golden 1 Center today. Tristy, I'm just going to tell you right now, they already knew who Tristy was, but some people were introduced. They will be saying hi to you today at the Golden 1 Center. I think that's going to happen, judging by the chat. So if you see her, just say what's up and just say, hey, praying for you because, you know, it's going to be a rough Wednesday, I think. It's going to be a rough Wednesday. But Tristan,
if you see me punching my laptop during the middle of the game, you know what's happening.
Do not wreck your tools. Don't do that. I appreciate you pulling up on me, though. I know you got a busy day, man, and I hit you on the emergency tip, like, hey, can you come on real quick? So I appreciate you. And then you got to come on here a little more regular. D-Lo will be back, and we'll chop it up.
Yeah, let's do it. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Take care, Tristy. Tristy Rodriguez, NBC Sports Bay Area. Yeah, poor girl's a Dodger fan, boy. I tell you, man. I'm gonna talk. We got my main man, Joe Davison. He's coming up here in just a little bit. I want to stay locked in on some Sacramento stuff and everything. But I will be breaking down what's going on in the Major League Baseball playoffs because, number one, it's great. It's absolutely great because not just because Dodgers are, but just the theater of it all. Like that game yesterday was a great game. A great game between the Dodgers and the Padres, man. So much theater, so much drama in that. So we'll break all of that down. But the Kings are back home, man. The Kings are back tonight at the Golden 1 Center, taking on the Golden State Warriors in exhibition preseason game number one. It's going to be on ESPN. You'll check that out. We've been talking all day about what is it that we want to see. What are we excited to see from the Sacramento Kings and everybody. I don't want to speak for everyone, but I'll speak for everyone. Everyone's number one on that list is DeMar DeRozan. I mean, we want to see what the guy that I deemed and many others who have seen everything in this franchise's tenure here in Sacramento deem as the number one free agent signing this team has ever signed. We want to see him. We want to see what that looks like. We want to see what this Hall of Famer is looking like in a Kings uniform at the Golden 1 Center with these guys. With Domantas Sabonis, De'Aaron Fox, Keegan Murray, Malik Monk. I mean, it's just we talk about that picture from Media Day with all those five guys just kind of, you know, taking a picture, taking a group shot or whatever. And I saw so many people in the mentions like, oh, that's crazy. This is really happening. This is really going down like this. And it is. It is crazy, especially when you think about and we talked about poor Luke Walton. Talked about Luke and what he had to go through.
Poor Luke Walton.
Oh, come on, man. Come on. We only three of the guys he coached are still in the league.
Yeah, there's that.
it wasn't like he was fired 10 years ago. This was three seasons ago.
He went out the day after Puke got right.
Yes.
That's one of the all-time that worst night. Exits.
Oh, yeah. And it was the next day. But we all knew what time it was.
Yeah.
We all knew what time it was. But, like I said, we're not that far away from that moment with Luke Walton with that roster. Glenn Robinson III, go blue. That's my guy. See, Kyle says we don't ever say go blue for guys who aren't that successful. I say go blue for my man, Glenn Robinson III, a little dog. Shout out to him.
Does Nick Stauskas get a go blue?
No. 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 No go blue for Nick Stauskas. Trey Burke, go blue.
Who is the bar for go blue? Like, I think you say Tim Hardaway is the bar for the Hall of Fame.
I think everybody gets a go blue but Nick Stauskas.
That's tough.
I think that's the case. Did you see the post game show last night? Derek Jeter was throwing out go blues to who was I forgot the guy on the Padres. He's like, yeah, go blue, hey, go blue. They both went
relax,
to Michigan.
Derek.
But yeah, that team. We're not far away from that team. You know, hitting the Quan. You know, we're trying to hit the Quan. You know, and asking for more minutes for DaQuan Jeffries, and now. We got DeMar DeRozan on the squad. DeMar DeRozan with De'Aaron Fox, with Keegan Murray, with Domantas Sabonis, with Malik Monk, with Keon Ellis. Keon Ellis, that's a guy I'm interested to see how that plays out because we talk about Monty and free agents and trades. If he finds a guy that's your starting two guard and is a possible all-NBA type perimeter defender, that's a major feather in his cap. Like, lack of a better term, he kind of got Keon off the scrap heap.
Yeah, I mean, he was undrafted?
Undrafted. Undrafted. And they signed him after the draft. He was kind of, it didn't happen right away.
Well, that's the thing that kind of took him, like, just developed him over time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a feather in Monty's cap if he could do that. But, and we mentioned all this stuff, and I'm obviously, because I asked the question about tonight, but. In the grand scheme of things, I didn't even mention Kevin Huerter. I think Kevin Huerter, I don't think he should be the starting two guard. I think that should be Keon Ellis. But don't let that be an indictment on what I think about Kevin Huerter. I think his role off the bench will be vital, and I think he can flourish being a guy off the bench.
Yeah, I'm curious about Kevin because I'm not going to lie. I was pretty out on him last season. I thought he was done, but it seems like they got some role like ready for him once he comes back, whether it be inserting him into the starting lineup or coming off the bench. So it's going to be interesting because last year was pretty ugly.
Yeah, and I think Kevin Huerter, he can start in this league. He can start in this league. He's talented enough. He's a good enough player. I do think him as a starting two guard in the NBA for a team that's trying to be a perennial playoff team and a championship team, I think he's a little miscast for that. I think, like, if you had the perfect role for Kevin Huerter on a winning team, what would it be?
I think he could be a starter. It's just his skill set would need to be like specific for that team though. Like they need that.
You'd probably need a whole lot around him though, right? Like
yeah. I guess that's
perfect.
I'm outwardly saying that.
Players,
I guess.
Yeah, the perfect mix of players around him. I think it's easier to incorporate him if he's a guy that's coming off the bench. And, like, to a certain degree, he can't fill this role because Malik is there. But he'd probably be, like, a six-man, like a true six-man, first guy off the bench, a Malik Monk-type guy. Like, that's probably his destiny on a really good team. But Monk is there. So you're getting a guy with that type of talent, with that type of ability, maybe as your seventh, eighth guy. You know, and like I said, it may not show up in the numbers. He may not average double digits or anything else like that, but I think he could be extremely vital to this team and what they're trying to do this year.
Yeah, I'm curious about him because if he's not hitting shots to start, I wonder how ugly it gets where he's just not getting minutes at that point.
Do they?
Because there's two ways it can go. It can go where, like, all right, he's back, he's playing well and all that, but also it's like, oh, yeah, Kevin's not shooting the ball well and he's not really doing much of else for us.
And the other thing that I thought about that I'm not sure of, and maybe this is a situation where maybe it's somebody like Jordan McLaughlin is losing playing time. I'm with Tristy, and a couple other people have talked about it as well. Jalen McDaniels, I'm interested to see what he can do. Like, I want to see what – I don't know. I'm not predicting. This isn't a spoiler. I don't know what Jalen can do, but the idea of a guy that's 6'8", 6'9", long, rangy, you know, athletic, that fits, like, what we think the Kings need, right? That's what people are always talking about. if it actually produces that way. We're not sure, but what if it does?
Listen, you're not asking much of those guys either. It's just a matter of, all right, Jalen, you're here. We need you to do this, this, and that. And if he excels at that, then he's going to be fine for them.
And defend on the perimeter, run the floor, and, you know, be a top flight athlete.
Because Fox, DeMar, and those guys, they're going to do all the heavy lifting. It's just a matter of, can everyone else just kind of keep to their role and be consistent every night?
Yeah, that's really what it comes down to. So, Kings Warriors tonight. Hit us up, man. We got the Matthews Matches Chatty House. Check us out on ESPN 1320 TV on YouTube live right now. Let me know, what are you looking for in this game one against the Golden State Warriors, preseason game one against the Golden State Warriors? If you want to call and have your voice be heard, it sounds about the time. D'Lo's not here. I mean, usually we hear from the Real Brothers Sacramento around this time. Like, maybe they might be calling in soon. You can hit us up on the Elk Grove Kia talk line, 916-909-1320. Now, you won't be able to do that next because we got another guest here on D'Lo and KC, a.k.a. KC and Friends, my main man, Joe Davison. He's going to pull up on us, man. We got a lot to talk about. Like we've mentioned it a little bit before. It's the start of the 40th season. Well, cover Kyle's ears because he said it's not the start. But it's the start of the 40th season for the Sacramento Kings here in Sacramento. Joe Davison, I believe, has seen them all. So I want to ask him a little bit. I'm a history buff. I like to go down memory lane. So I want to ask him a little bit about that. Then since the last time we talked to him, Sac State obviously has done a lot of things in their quest to get to the Pac-12 and get to the FBS. Joe Davison's been on top of it the entire time. We'll talk to him about that. Plus, obviously, we got to touch on what's going on in high school, man, and where's the place to be this Friday night. So there's so much going on, so much to talk about with Joe Davison. He's coming up next. It's D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320. You know the vibes, man. It's ESPN 1320. It's D'Lo and KC on this Wednesday afternoon. No D'Lo today, man. A little under weather. You know, get charging the battery up to back to 100. You know, my man will be good in no time. He's got it like that. So it's just KC today, man. And it is KC and Friends. I like to talk to my people, man. Usually when D'Lo's here, like I just talk to him, I nag him and talk his ear off. But, you know, Jesse, he just pulls down the screen every now and then. He's like, I'm done talking to this guy. So that's why I gotta holler at my people. I gotta be like, yo, you guys talk to me real quick. So that's usually what goes on today. We're waiting to get my guy, Joe Davison from the Sacramento Bee, on. He's going to come in and talk to us a little bit about everything that's going on with Sacramento sports, like he does, because he is a legend. But we've been talking a lot today about the Sacramento Kings being back home. The Kings are back home. And it's one of those things where when the Kings are home, like, everybody knows. Like, I where was I at? I used to, it was just, I forgot where I was at, but maybe it was in LA or in the Bay Area. I can't remember. But it was one of those things where it was like, oh, the Kings, maybe it was the Bay Area, and it was when the Giants were home. It was like, oh, the Giants are gone. They're on a road trip. And when they were home, you know, people would walk around and be like, the Giants are home. The Giants are home. You know, the Giants are back. It's kind of how it is here in Sacramento. The Kings are back. The Kings are home. And you know it. You go down to DoCo now, and you see, you know, the signs, and you see the this year, the 40th anniversary type stuff, and all this. You see all this. And it's a different feeling around the city. And especially now, you got a situation with DeMar DeRozan being, you know, making his debut with the Sacramento Kings. This tonight, this first preseason game against the Golden State Warriors, man, it's going to be electric. I asked earlier, you know, what, how many people are going to be there? And I was like, I'm going to, you know, play on the conservative side, and I'm going to say it's not going to be 17,000 at the Golden One Center for a preseason game. I'm not going to say that. I can't believe that. But I think you're going to get about 15,000 for the Sacramento Kings on a preseason night, and that's pretty big. One guy who has seen it all, done it all here in Sacramento and seeing crowds of 14, 15, 16, 17,000. My main man, Joe Davison of the Sacramento Bee. Joe, what's up, man? How you doing?
I am fine. It's good to hear your voice. I've seen crowds large, small, festive, unruly. We've seen it all.
Seen it all. Yeah, I thought about you the other day real quick because there's a lot that I wanted to talk to you with. But Saturday, I was back at the old stomping grounds. I was at McClatchy High School. We had an alumni game there.
Alumni hoops.
Yeah, man. Brad Klopp was there. Mr. Tahara. It was great times. I was mad I wasn't able to play. No, I wasn't able to play because I had to host a concert out of Thunder Valley. So I would have been out there, man. But Tyrone Patterson was out there. You know, Tyrone used to do his thing.
Oh, yeah. Can he still get above the rim?
I don't know if he can get above the rim, but he's still quick. Yeah. He still get up and down that court.
See, I like how you measured that. You know, we're in media, we're friends. We could offer constructive fair criticism. Did you have another engagement, or is your game so well past you that you just didn't want to humiliate yourself?
Oh no,
it's okay.
No.
You could admit that.
No, hey Joe D, if I would have stepped out on the court, I'm putting up 40. You know, not only is the game not well behind me, if I would have stepped out on that court, I'm putting up 40. MVP honors.
Well, you know, stretch, hydrate, and go get them. But, what a cool thing for McClatchy. It's the crown jewel of the Sac City Unified. And to have alumni games, and apparently I saw it on Facebook, they had some posts, and people really love their old school. So that's cool to see.
Yeah, it was good to get back into that gym. And, you know, and they're trying to bring that school back. We talk about it all the time with, you know, trying to get the football team together and everything. But, you know, as far as like the whole athletics department, like they've got the program Restore the Roar, where they, you know, come back to some of these alumni and say, hey, come to these games, come to these events, you know, come support the school. I'm a part of it. I'll be at a lot of that stuff. But I love to see that as an alumni of the school, because it gets lost because Sacramento has grown so much. And, you know, we got the Folsoms and the Jesuits and the Sheldons and the Elk Groves and all this other stuff. But McClatchy is, you know, I don't want to say the crown jewel of the city, but it's there. It's in the middle of the city. It is in the heart of the city, one of the oldest high schools in the region. And, you know, it's still there kicking. I love to see it get back. You know, they're doing it in women's basketball for sure. The girls' basketball are holding it down.
Time.
But I love to see
Kane
the whole department.
Nina Kane was our girls basketball player of the year last season.
Yeah, going to Washington.
MLB, yeah. And she's back for her senior year. So the girls basketball team has been a powerhouse for years. Football, as you and I have talked about before, has had good seasons. You got to get the roster numbers up. Still play in the best venue anywhere, and that's Hughes Stadium. Mm-hmm. And so it's doable. But the thing, when I say McClatchy is a crown jewel of this Sac City Unified, is the academic standing is still there. It's a beautiful campus. You got a unique gym. So it's healthy and it's vibrant. It's, football can get better, and I think it will. They have the Lions have an alum coach there. And there was also other big news where Malcolm Floyd, the former Malcolm Cedron, played in the NFL, the pride and joy of McClatchy, is now a principal at one of the feeder schools in the district. And how cool is that? There was a guy who was a multi-sport athlete, played in the NFL, coached football at his alma mater at McClatchy, and now he's honoring the profession by being a principal for a feeder program at one of the middle schools. I think that's just awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome, man. And you also got my guy, I don't know, you know, my man Tony Vaughn, he's now the new head basketball coach for the boys team, man. And Tony has been entrenched in the city, man, since I was in high school.
I know the name.
That's turned into a long time ago now. Since, when I talk about since I was in high school, I'm putting some years on it now.
Well, and you know, Kenny, sometimes it takes an alum to help fire up a school in athletics. And so kudos to him. He's certainly got great resources and people like Brad Klopp, great personality, and the great Harvey Tahara, a longtime teacher coach at McClatchy. And he's so famed that his name's on the floor.
Come on, legend.
Harvey and Janice Tahara, he and his wife and all that. But no, it's good stuff.
Legend. It won't be long, Joe, until the roar is back. Rawr! Lions, let's go, baby. We back out here. But, man, I could talk McClatchy all day long, but the Kings are back. The Kings are home, Joe D, and we've been talking about it all day. They're starting the 40th season here in Sacramento, and I only know a Sacramento with the Sacramento Kings here. That's all I know.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, that's
isn't that
all
amazing?
I know.
So the Kings. This is a figure I've written about before in stories. The Kings were purchased by Greg Lukenbill and a Sacramento group in 1984 for $10.5 million. And you think about guys making five times that much, you know, three times that much per season now. Look how much the value has increased in salaries. And I think Arco Arena was built, the second Arco, they had a small little venue, Arco 1, and then Arco 2 opened in 1988 for like $80 million. And you think about what Golden 1 was. No, actually, it might have been $30 million. Mm-hmm. And it was built, quote, on the cheap. And then when it opened up, Greg Lukenbill told the crowd, this is the Disney Disneyland venue of all sports in the world, which was a little ambitious because it aged hard. And then we all know about the stories about the Kings almost relocating, and then this fantastic venue downtown, Golden 1 Center, and what it does. It hosts high school championships. March Madness is going to come back for another stopover in a couple of years. It was there a couple of years ago. So it's, look what an arena will do, and we've seen what it does, you know, after playoff games and Light the Beam, and Doco's just bustling with business. And so this is year 40 and optimism everywhere, and including the great Gary Gerald, still the voice of that franchise. He is an ageless wonder. I always tease him that he's solar powered. He just never seems to slow down. He is still a great listen, in person or on the air or whatever. So kudos to the Kings for keeping that treasure locked in.
That, and he is an absolute legend. Absolute legend in the city. And I brought up the 40 years because, see, all I know is the Sacramento with Joe Davidson. So tell me if I'm wrong with this one. But were you here before the Kings moved to Sacramento?
Yeah. So I grew up in the Oregon Mountains.
That's right.
And so when people say, oh, you obviously went to Jesuit or Elk Grove or Grant or whatever school, it's like, no, maybe my namesake. what kind of GPA did I have? So I moved down here in 84, started working at the Davis Enterprise right out of high school and when I was going to college. And so then the Kings, when they arrived, I mean, back in 84, there was all this news, especially at the Sacramento Bee, of, hey, this is happening, and it's dying in Kansas City, and there's relocations and things like that. And so there was, when the Kings first got here, they did a stopover of sorts, their final season as the Kansas City Kings. And they did like a workout or practice at American River College just to kind of see, hey, we're here. And the place was stuffed with people for a workout. That's how excited people were that big time sports was here. And, and we look at Sacramento now and all the growth up Highway 50 and up in Placer County. It's a massive region now. Yeah. But back in 1984, it was, you know, that was 30 high schools ago, meaning we've added 30 high schools in this region, if not more, since that time, which is reflective of the growth. So, isn't that wild?
That's crazy.
And so there are not going to be any plans of moving at a Golden 1. That is a lifetime deal right there, which is, I don't think Golden 1's going to age bad at all. That's a gem.
First class arena. I think, I haven't been to all of them, but I think it's got to be a top three arena in the NBA. I don't care what the voting polls they do. I can't imagine 7 better arenas than the Golden 1 Center. It's unique. It is up to date. You know what I mean? And it's a certain vibe. Like when you walk through the hangar doors, like that entrance right there, and you walk in and you just see the entire arena and all the people. I mean, that is the creme de la creme of NBA experiences, I believe.
Well, but you know, here's the thing, Kenny, when you have all these fantastic venues across the league, you can't, you know, how do you stack them? How do you rank them? They're all great.
Yeah.
Not all of them, but especially the newer ones. And I still consider Golden 1 newer, quote unquote newer. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and I think any fan's going to embrace their own venue. I remember doing stories for the Bee as Arco Arena was phasing out and it was the final season and the new arena and all that. And people, fans, longtime fans said, I don't know what's wrong with Arco Arena. This is a great venue. That's because they hadn't been in other venues.
Mm-hmm.
And now that they go to Golden 1, they say, I can't believe we used to play in that dump, but it was their dump.
That's right.
So, you know, Golden 1 is many things, but I don't think it's ever going to be considered a dump.
I don't think so either. I don't think so either, man.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.